Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we're looking forward to talking with Juan Williams tomorrow if you listen to NPR, National Public Radio. Now, I listen to NPR, I think, more than I do conservative talk radio, because I know what the conservatives are saying at any given time on any particular issue. It's, what are the bad guys saying? Or what are the really bad guys saying? And so that's why I tend to, in order to know thy enemy, listen to liberal talk shows, including NPR and Fox News, you know, O'Reilly, whoever. So it should be good to have Juan Williams on this program. He's frequently on the panel on Britt Hume's Fox News Channel show, and he's an NPR correspondent for many years, and he's a liberal. And it'll be good to talk through the Iraq war situation with Juan Williams. And then also Bob Kornacki, if I'm pronouncing that right, from Colorado Springs. We will be talking with him as ABC News reported a group of Christians on expedition in northern Iran think that they may have found Noah's Ark, as reported by ABC News and AOL. So we will get to that. Now, illegal immigration has become a hot political issue, thanks generally to talk radio, cable news, and the internet. But specifically, one politician has done more than any other to warn America that illegal border crossings are a threat to national security. And Tom Tancredo is that U.S. congressman from Colorado. Tom Tancredo, I'm enjoying reading your book, In Mortal Danger. Thanks for visiting us at Bob Enyart Live.
It's a pleasure, and I'm glad that you're enjoying the book. That's good to hear.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And as we get started, I have greetings for you from a few folks.
All right.
I think you know the former chairman of the Colorado Republican Party, Steve Curtis.
I do very well, of course.
And from back when Ronald Reagan appointed you as a Colorado representative for education, you met with the founders of Maranatha Christian Center.
Oh, of course.
And they're a 700-student Christian school. Well, Pastor Don Miller says hello.
And not only did I meet with them, but I lived only about three blocks away, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Would visit their schools often.
They have an extraordinary 20-acre campus. What
yes.
A beautiful school. And a 40-year veteran of the Denver Police Department, whom you do not know, but his name is Dale Squire. All three, Steve Curtis, Don Miller, and Dale Squire, send you their greetings. And specifically, they asked me to thank you for firmly opposing abortion and defending the lives of unborn children.
Well, that is, it's a funny thing to say thank you to that, because, mm-hmm. of course, it seems to me it's the act of any rational person.
Yeah.
But I nonetheless want to thank you and them for those kind comments. And when people lose sight of the importance of the fact that God said he knew you when you were in the womb.
Mm.
It's an amazing thing. I think society yeah. pays a lot of very, very severe prices.
And I think it's the foundation of all civil government, God's enduring command, do not murder. And whenever we conceive of any process or set of rules that would tell us we could set aside do not murder, then we're on the road past humanism to really disregard human life.
Absolutely true. I mean, I get into so many arguments with folks on the other side, and especially women who come into my office here demanding to have, quote, control over their body. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling them, as far as I'm concerned, you have control over your body. You can do with it what you wish. It is only that other body yeah. inside of you that you do not have control over, not in terms of its own life. And
Tom Tancredo, so thank you for that. And then also now, let's talk about your book, Immortal Danger, The Battle for America's Border and Security. Here's how I'd love to do this. I'm wondering
right.
if I can throw out statements about illegal immigration and you comment on them.
Sure.
Okay, great. First, security. Illegal immigration, not speaking of legal, but illegal immigration is a threat to national security.
The FBI is finally admitting to the fact that they have arrested people inside this country who are terrorists and who came here for the purpose of committing terrorist acts and came here across and came here by sneaking into the country across the southern border. For the longest time, you could not get the FBI to even tell the truth about it. They would say that we have not. They would always say there is no evidence that anyone has been caught at the border in this capacity. Well, no, okay, that's because they got past the border and we did catch them in the United States, but they wouldn't want to say so. However, in front of a hearing about 2 months ago, they finally, the head of the FBI finally admitted to the fact that people are coming into this country for the purpose of killing you and me and our children, and they're sneaking into the country because, of course, the borders are porous. Mm.
Congressman Tom Tancredo, I want to let you know we have listeners in Texas who told me a somewhat scary story. The wife has friends who are actively trying to arrange for Middle Eastern men to come to this country illegally, going first to Egypt, then to Mexico and come up our southern border. And the wife is afraid of these people she knows, and she's afraid to talk to the FBI about this, but the husband asked me at least to let you know about it.
Well, I know that that is true, and I know that even more, of course, is happening. There is a place called the Tri-Border Area. It's in northern Brazil. It is a lawless area and has been for many years. It has been a center for all kinds of smuggling into the United States, and it has become a hot spot for the smuggling of human beings into this country, mostly from the Middle East. So what happens is that Middle Easterners will make it to South America, into Brazil, and into this area where these drug cartels, these are actually Mexican cartels that are operating in this area in Brazil, and they are providing these people with Mexican identity papers and or Brazilian, and then moving them upwards. There's a route right from the tri-border area into the United States. Now, they have to pay significantly more than the Mexican peasant who is, coming from southern Yucatan. But the coyote and the cartels that are smuggling these people in couldn't care less what the intention of the individual is.
Who they are, of course.
They'll pay up to $50,000 it costs to smuggle a Middle Easterner into this country.
So first off, security, our national security is at stake. And then now secondly, borders generally, aside from national security, without borders, you don't even have a country. Citizenship loses its meaning, and secure borders help make good neighbors.
The whole idea of the Bush administration, along with, of course, Fox and the Canadians, especially under the past Prime Minister Martin, was to move us into a trading bloc known as, the next step will be something called the Free Trade of the Americas. We've already passed NAFTA. The next is CAFTA. I mean, we did CAFTA. And the one after that is, the one coming, is called the Free Trade of the Americas. At the completion of those three trade agreements, which, by the way, interesting to note, one little factoid here, we no longer call these things treaties. We call them agreements. And there's a reason.
Because the Constitution declares Howard to ratify a treaty.
Correct. Two-thirds of the Senate need to ratify a treaty. Only 50% plus one of both houses need to ratify agree to these agreements. So it's easier to get both 50% of both houses than it is to get two-thirds of the Senate. Hence, we don't call them that, even though the State Department have criteria that, and those criteria, there are five, I believe, and they are specific as to what is a treaty and what is an agreement. And in every case, these agreements meet the criteria. So they should be treaties, but we don't do it. When those three agreements are completed, we will be then a trading bloc, similar to the European Union. What happens inside the trading block is that borders become meaningless. They're of no consequence. People can...
And of course, it's a bit of a straw dummy on the side of one administration after another, because you could have good trade and economic activity while maintaining a strong border.
Absolutely.
You don't have to erase your border to trade with your neighbors.
That's exactly right.
Now, Karl Rove, in your book, by the way, we're speaking with Tom Tancredo, U.S. Congressman from Colorado. His new book, In Mortal Danger, is available everywhere, The Battle for America's Border and Security. You mentioned that Karl Rove, President Bush's most trusted political advisor, has told you you're not welcome at the White House. And even the House Majority Leader, former Republican Tom DeLay, said that you had no career in Congress. And basically, it's because you're pointing out that, hey, we are at risk. And our government, even this Republican administration, is looking the other way while we have a porous border.
That's exactly right. The pressure to move in the direction we're describing is enormous. There are people, the president being one, who believe that the only thing that should determine the movement of goods or services or people is a market, and that the flow of human beings should not be impeded by a thing called a border.
Yeah.
When the European Union was formed, you remember, and you can ask Europeans who were alive at the time if in fact they ever envisioned that the European Union would grow not just into a trading arrangement, a free trade among the countries, but into a political arrangement that would establish a parliament. A parliament that is now funded through the taxes that are levied on every single thing sold in Europe, in the European Union. A parliament, by the way, that has its own foreign minister, and today announced that it would be holding hearings to pass legislation to block our ability, the United States' ability, to track the money laundering activities of terrorists in Europe. Now, I mean, who would have thunk it, as they say?
Yeah, right.
And if we would have said this 20 years ago, if anybody who would have indicated that that's the end result of this would be a supranational government, I mean, supra-governmental entity taking power away from individual states in Europe, of course we would have all been called, well, a lot of names, that's for sure, but crazy would be one of them.
Yeah.
But we are moving exactly in that direction.
Yeah, there is a leftist movement around the world that despises national borders.
Yep.
Their goal is to have a world income tax, world currency, and we're all citizens of the world, and to do away with national identities. And there is a hatred around the world of America, and there are many reasons for that. But I think a fundamental one, which the media will never acknowledge, is that we're hated in part because of our Christian heritage, and that really burns in Europe. They despise the Christian aspect of America. In fact, they view our president, George W. Bush, as especially worthy of hatred because they believe he's a fundamentalist Christian.
Yeah, and I think they believe wrongly on that, by the way.
Yeah, I think so, too. But that's how he's perceived, and for that reason, they distrust and hate him. And then, of course, the Muslim world is somewhat hostile or extremely hostile to Christianity. So it's because America is one of the most Christian nations in the world, even though, boy, we have our faults, we're hated. And so they would even tie our hands in trying to fight terrorism. Let me ask you the next statement. So first, security, illegal immigration is a threat to national security. Secondly, borders help make good neighbors. And third, now, the immigration solution. Can we talk about the solution? And we believe that it begins with securing the border. And we've long presented here the Bob and Yurt Live immigration solution, which includes not only securing the border, but for legal immigration, we advocate fingerprints and a DNA sample from all immigrants so that we know who is in our country And a DNA database will partly deter career criminals from even wanting to come here. It'll make it easier for Americans to trust those who do arrive.
I agree that there should be that some sort of identification process that is foolproof, and that's what you've just described is as close to it as I can think of. Bob, I don't know if people understand the dimension of the problem, and it's greater than even the number of people who are coming into the United States illegally. It is a worldwide phenomenon. The movement of people groups around the world is something that causes changes to occur. It is something that has ramifications. When I talk about us being in mortal danger, I'm talking about Western civilization, not just the United States of America. I'm talking about a Judeo-Christian heritage that is under attack, and I'm talking about the fact that when you realize we are in a true clash of civilizations, it is the West and a Christian West against an Islamic, and in this case, Islamofascism, that we are clashing all over the world. Mm-hmm. And when Western Europe admits millions and millions and millions of people who do not have Western values and who not only don't have them but disavow them, you see, there is no way to accommodate someone who comes to the West with a value system that says, I believe that we should all live under Sharia law, and right, I believe that there should be a caliphate instead of a democracy
now,
or a republic.
In Europe, they're under severe risk. In fact, even the United Nations has said that Europe, including Russia, France, have a population crisis where their birth rate is not sufficient to replace their population, and their economy requires them to import millions of Muslims from Africa and the Middle East just to do the work. And that's partly because of their jihad, Europe's jihad, against marriage, against families, and against children, right, for decades.
Italy has the highest abortion rate in Europe, and it's the home of the Catholic Church.
The Roman Catholic Church. Tom Tancredo, in Arvada, Colorado, Denver Bible Church, we have a small church. I pastor the church, about 100, 120 people, and I haven't counted recently, but we probably have 25 kids under age 15, because we teach that children are a blessing from God.
Right.
In fact, the Bible says that children are like arrows as weapons for a warrior, whereas a neighboring liberal church in Arvada that has about 100 people, they have hardly half a dozen young kids because they abort their kids, they kill their kids, they're against marriage and families.
Right.
And so Europe is 30 years further down that road, and they have this crisis with Islam. In America, it's a bit different because it's mostly Mexicans who are coming across our southern border. So,
but it causes a problem here. Here's what happens and why it's, I think, a dangerous situation. Whether you're talking about massive immigration of Muslims into Western Europe, massive immigration of Mexican and or Latin Americans into America. What is happening in the United States is that we are under the control, as I say in the book, of the cult of multiculturalism. It really right. has us by the throat. It is the face of that cult is the Ward Churchill, but there are thousands of them.
That's an internal problem.
Internal problem.
It's a homegrown.
It is exacerbated.
And it's an anti-American. It's hatred of America's Christian heritage.
That's right.
And so everything America is condemned by our multiculturalism.
That problem,
right,
that cult of multiculturalism, is aided and abetted by massive immigration of people who don't want to be Americans. And it doesn't matter where they come from.
Well,
I don't care whether they're coming from Mexico or Azerbaijan.
Could we talk, let me give a few more, if it's okay,
yes,
a few more statements on immigration. And so generally, you agree, secure the borders, and we need to, for people who come here legally, we need to know who they are.
We need to know who they are.
Fourth, our welfare system is broken in America. And in your book, you describe your grandparents who came to America, Tom Tancredo's grandparents, and you say they had two choices, work or starve.
That's That's right.
And according to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, those are the right two choices.
That's what they had.
Yeah, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. The government should encourage people to work, and our welfare system is a disincentive not only to millions of Americans, but then there are many people who look at immigrants and they wonder, are they coming here to get entitlements? And so that's, again, partly our government's fault. We need to fix welfare.
That's right. The initiative in Colorado, that's one reason why I certainly supported it, that said, you know, there'll be no social service benefits. The reality is that people are coming here for reasons other than what my grandparents came for and yours. They're coming here for, of course, a job, a better life, and all the rest of that stuff, but also because they can have the benefits of a system, of a welfare system that will provide medical care.
Yeah,
for nothing.
It's a huge crisis.
Absolutely.
Okay, fifth, we're starting to run out of time.
Yeah, we are running out of time.
Our criminal justice system, it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. And so that adds to the tragedy. And if, in fact, we had a good criminal justice system, then everyone here and people coming here, we would view one another as good neighbors. So that these are a lot of our own problems that add. They exacerbate the illegal immigration problem. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you about, what to do with those who are already here? And this is where I think we disagree, but could you describe as quickly as possible what it is you think we should do with the millions
Sure.
who are here illegally?
The first thing that you do is to, this is probably a shocking thing, but it is to enforce the law. It is against the law for people to hire people who are here illegally. If you enforce the law against employment, illegal employment, I call them illegal employers, if you enforce the law, then millions of people return home, and they do so because the thing for which they came, the job, is no longer available. Mm. To the extent that people stay, even though they can't get jobs or that they have found a way to scam the system, then they must be deported. You have only two choices. You either enforce the law or you repeal the law. The worst thing you do for a society, I think our society, is to ignore the law.
Okay, now this is where we disagree. Your book documents that our government has enticed millions of people to come here illegally. We say, we have put up little signs, don't cross the border, and as soon as you do, this is where you sign up for your entitlements. So now that the indignation we should have as a nation is not against those escaping oppressive poverty. And we've toured Mexico and their neighborhoods where kids live in boxes with no electricity, no
yeah.
running water. I mean, it is oppressive poverty. And so our government has enticed these people to come here illegally, and here they could at least be clean and have a reasonable life. And then we're indignant at the wrong group. So that since our government has enticed them to come and our government has not respected our laws, we should now secure the border. But those who are here acknowledge that, for one, practically, there's no way to deport millions of people. You'll have thousands of Ilian Gonzalez photo ops with families being torn apart, trying to send illegals back to Mexico. But secondly, we've lost the moral high ground because our government has enticed these people to come.
Well, Bob, I cannot agree. I believe we lose the moral high ground at the point in time that you say, I know that you've come here illegally. I know that you were enticed here, but I know you've come illegally. Now, there are, of course, millions and millions and millions of people who have come the right way.
Yeah, right.
And what do I tell them? How do I explain to them that all you had to do was sneak across the border and eventually you'll get all of the benefits that we give you by doing it the right way?
There's
where you lose the moral high ground.
I would say our government does not respect its own laws. We even violate do not murder. And our courts are no guarantee that our laws will be upheld. Our Supreme Court justices, state courts, our officials don't care what our law has been. And because of that, you've been enticed to come here illegally. For that, we apologize. Now that you're here, we will secure the border, and we've got to deal with this problem that we have created. I think it's taking responsibility for ourselves and acknowledging that we are a lawless nation, and our government has been lawless for all these many years.
When you put, I always see, it's intriguing, isn't it, that when you walk down the streets, even of New York City, and you'll see these carts and or all of the racks of clothes outside of a building, outside of the store itself, for sale, and everybody walking by. I suppose you could say that you're enticing a lot of people to simply take them because they're out there, nobody's watching, but if somebody takes it, should we not then prosecute them?
Yeah, of course, but those stores don't say, once you steal our goods, here's where you sign up that we'll ship you more at your home address. Tom Tancredo, it's an honor to talk to you.
It's a pleasure, Bob, as always. Take care. God bless you.
Thank you so
Bye-bye.
Much for your time. The book is In Mortal Danger by U.S. Congressman from Colorado, Tom Tancredo, The Battle for America's Border and Security. And so you could see that we agree on so much, but there is that one level of disagreement. What do we do about the 12 million illegal immigrants who are here? About 10% of America back in the 60s had been born outside of the country. Today it's about 12%. And I'm actually thankful that they're mostly from Mexico and Central America and not Islamic jihadists from the Middle East and Southeast Asia. But we do have a responsibility, I believe, toward these people because we've enticed them to come here under false pretenses, basically. But hey, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen, in kgov.com.